we are in the assembly line. Here you can see this is one group. There are 9 people. They have to produce 350 washing machines per day.
Miquel Lesamith is the director of cooperative dissemination for Mondragon. It's his job to explain to the wider world how Mondragon works. Today he's showing a couple from the United States around a Fagor factory. It makes washing machines. He's proud of the factory. He helped reorganize the workers into small, highly autonomous teams.
The system is the self-managed teamwork system. Each group has to manage themselves. Also, they have to repair the line. They have to do the quality control, and also they have to organize themselves.
If Miquel's trying to impress us, he's picked an odd example. Although the Mondragon Corporation has done well during the recent economic crisis in Spain, this Fagor washing machine plant is actually losing money. The crash in the Spanish construction industry has meant the demand for washing machines has slumped.
3 years ago, they were having profits, but they produced for the new houses. And before, producing 4,000 washing machines, it was profitable, but producing only 2,000 is not profitable.
But despite the downturn, Fagor has avoided job losses. They've done this by moving workers into other co-ops that are doing better, and by voting to cut everyone's salaries by 7%. Maria Jesus works in a production team putting together washing machines, but she's also a worker member, or socio, of the company.
We have reduced our salaries so that we can do better. We all earn a little less to give a small boost to the company.
And was it a decision of everyone?
Yes, the majority came out in favor, of course. It was a vote.
Worker members in Mondragon have a lot of power. They elect the governing council for their company, which has the power to hire and fire managers and to set executive salaries. But socios also have more responsibilities and take a share of the risks. When they become members, they have to invest their own money in the cooperative. They also attend regular meetings to discuss important issues. The decision to cut wages at Fagor was the result of 9 months of discussions.
Long, yes, man, there was a fight. It went on for months. In theory, we are meant to have one meeting per month in order to know how things are going, how the sales are going. It's called the collaborators' meeting.
Socios at Fagor are more willing to tighten their belts because they're well informed and because the pain is shared. The 7% pay cut will apply to everyone, from the chief executive to the production worker. In return, Fagor will see up to half its losses covered by a Mondragon Solidarity Fund, which all the co-ops contribute to. In fact, 90% of profits are reinvested in job creation, in setting up new co-ops, in education and social projects, and in the Solidarity Fund.
We believe that intercooperation at this moment is the key to survive. We pass money, we pass people, we innovate together, we are doing projects together. 2, 3, 4 cooperatives to create new projects all over the world, and the intercooperation is the key at this moment.
In the sense of the network, it is unique.
Fred Freundlich is a professor and researcher at the Faculty of Business at the University of Mondragon.
There are many, many employee-owned companies around the world, but not very many of them, almost none of them, are part of a network with other employee-owned companies where they have created institutions they need in common and where they help each other out.
Freundlich believes that the most important institution they created was their own bank, Caja Laboral.
In the late 50s, the first co-ops were getting off the ground, but they decided that it would be hard to convince conventional finance organizations around here to lend them money. So they thought it would be useful for them to have their own financing source, their own bank. Not a credit union in the traditional sense, that's where the depositors are the members, but rather the members are the workers in the bank and the other co-ops in the group. So they created this institution in common, a bank, and then they did it again with Social Security and insurance, and they did it again with research and development, and they did it again with the university, and they've done it now in lots of different kinds of organizations, venture capital fund also, foundation. All of the institutions that they needed, that no one or two or three of them would have been able to create on their own, and for whom it would have been very hard to get these kinds of services in the conventional market. But joining together and creating them together gave them, you know, enough of a critical mass of resources and people that they could create them and make good use of them.
But why did it happen here? Why this extraordinary explosion of cooperatives in this mountainous region of northern Spain? The most important factor was the vision and influence of a Catholic priest, Father José Arizmendiarreta. Posted to Mondragon a few years after the end of the Spanish Civil War, he found a deprived and divided community. Miquel Ledamith.
Father Arizmendiarreta takes the ideas from the Catholic Church, but Father Arizmendiarreta went a step more. He not only tried to humanize the enterprise and develop the community, but he had the idea that the people who work the labor has to have the power, and the capital is only a tool.
Arizmendiarreta was the catalyst.
Ainara Udoondo is director of the Lanqui Institute, whose work is focused on analyzing, maintaining, and strengthening the cooperative principles of Mondragon. She says that Arizmendiarreta found fertile ground for his ideas in the Basque Country.
We say trabajo asociado, work together and to work in cooperation. There's a way of doing things here. You can see it not only in the cooperatives, also in different social movements and things that happen here in the Basque Country.
Arizmendiarreta set up a technical college, but his teachings were as much about the philosophical as the practical, about social justice, democracy, and worker ownership. It was a slow process.
When Arizmendiarreta came to Arrasate, the first thing that he did was to train people. And there were 15 years of training before the first cooperative was started.
Eventually, he persuaded five of his former students to quit their jobs in a local factory and set up the first cooperative, the company that would later become Fagor. But Arizmendiarreta persuaded them to go much further. Fred Freundlich.
His immediate followers, the founders of the first co-ops who had studied in his technical school, he persuaded them to create the bank. They had started the first co-op, and there were a couple of other co-ops getting started, but no one had the idea of formal collaboration to create an institution in common, or to work co-op A with co-op B to solve some particular problem or take advantage of some specific opportunity. I think that's the main answer to why it happened here. This particular person's great insight.
Even Arizmendiarreta could not have foreseen Mondragon's spectacular growth and globalization. The end of the dictatorship in the 1970s and Spain's entry into the EU a decade later brought international opportunities, but also competition from foreign multinationals. The decision was taken to forge the network of co-ops into a corporation, allowing it to respond to challenges and expand more quickly. In the last 20 years, its workforce has nearly quadrupled, and it now has factories in 18 different countries around the world. But some fear that the cooperative principles of Mondragon were weakened during its rapid expansion. In fact, at present, only a third of Mondragon's workers are true cooperative members. There are plans to convert the large number of non-member workers in Spain, but creating co-ops at factories in countries like China, Brazil, and Mexico has proved more difficult.
Is it possible that it will end up on a trajectory where it looks more and more like a conventional conglomerate? It's possible. I think the other scenario is more likely. There are so many thousands of people here in the Basque Country where these co-ops were created and where they're nurtured that are committed to these ideas. I think the co-op trajectory is more likely. Mondragon, for all of its challenges and problems, demonstrates very clearly that almost any enterprise and almost any sector of almost any size and complexity can be owned and governed by its worker members. These are enterprises where the workers make the ultimate decisions and where they share the profits among themselves. That's inspiring enough.
For Making Contact, I'm Tom Allen in Mondragon, in the Basque Country, Spain.